Folks, this is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. It's good to be here tonight. We are going to be continuing the series of the three categories of sin, and it's been a while since we've done this, so I'll kind of do a catch up a little bit, just kind of a very brief thing we talked about last time. And it is good to be here tonight. It seems like it's been a while since I did one of these, and it certainly has been. And it's good to be here. And we're going to be talking about the lust of the flesh. This is part number two of the lust of the flesh, but it is part three of the series. So hopefully this can be a blessing to you, and hopefully that I can be a blessing to you. Hopefully that, you know, we all, I mean, even me too, you know, all of us, that we can feel challenged and convicted and be able, you know, just, you know, because here's the thing, I'm not perfect. I'm just like you guys, and I have a flesh just like everybody else. So, you know, we all are going to fall short at times, and, you know, it is what it is. Amen. So, so a couple prayer requests. There's a fellow sister that wants prayer. Wants prayer for her brother. Her brother is in trouble. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's not legal trouble. But just, you know, just pray for him and pray for this particular sister. I'm not going to mention names, but just keep them in prayer. If you can pray for me, pray for this broadcast, that God will just preserve it and just, you know, would just take and do with it as he wills. Please pray for the broadcast. Please pray. Also, I'm working on a kind of like a project where I'd like to just take time and do videos where I just read. Well, I want to read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But I'm going to record. I'm going to be recording that. So, you know, and that's going to be a challenge because the devil doesn't want the word getting out. So, if you pray for me on that, pray for that. It's going to be a lengthy project, but right now, I'm going to be doing about three chapters a day. Now, there are some books that are actually a lot smaller, which I'm going to just kind of do all in one shot. If, like, for an example, Jonah's four chapters, so I might just do the whole book of Jonah. Third John is very short. It's only 28 verses long. I might just do that. And, you know, so the shorter books I may not have to spend much time on, but because they're shorter and smaller, so you pray for me on that. Pray that God would have his way and will, and just pray that it would be a blessing for others who do come across it and listen to it. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So, you know, we build up our faith by listening to the word of God. But we should, and I'm not saying that you should never study your Bible. No, you should study your Bible, read your Bible, you know, but our faith gets built up on listening to the word of God. So, and I find it really nice and relaxing just to listen to the word, you know, I just like to listen to it. When I'm not able to study it, I'll go and listen to it and just kind of just let the word just do what it's got to do, right? So, I just like to let the word, you know, just work on my life and just, you know, be able to convict me in areas I might need to be convicted in, and just, you know, I just like to listen to it. So that's why I'm going to be doing that. And I've had a desire to do it. I never really had the chance to do it, so till now. So you pray for me on that. Also, if you could pray for me, I'll be going down to a church in Elma, which is about 40 minutes away. It's not too far, but I'll be going down there January 19th. I'll be preaching there, and I'll be preaching there Sunday night service. So you pray for me on that. Pray that God will give me a message to preach to them, but as well as, you know, pray that, God would just have his way and will. Amen. So I'm going to be doing that in January. In January, it'll be a good start to a whole new year. Amen. But other than that, I don't really have anything else. If you guys have any prayer requests, if you want to just shoot me a message or whatnot or whatever, just feel free to do so. And, just let me know what your prayer requests are, and I'll put you on my prayer list. I got to redo my prayer list. I just got to kind of reorganize it a little bit. Anyways, so otherwise, other than that, I think we'll just go ahead and get started. I got a lot of information to share with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 17. And so really quickly, while you guys are turning there, last time we spoke on the lust of the flesh, and we took a look at Galatians chapter 5 in verse 17 to 21, and that's kind of the verse that I'm going to be using in the next few videos, because it kind of encompasses what we're going to be talking about. So anyways, but if you're there already, we'll go ahead and get started. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when we take a look at those verses, we see there are 17 things mentioned here, okay? So there are 17 different works of the flesh. Now, what we see here at the beginning is adultery, fornication, and uncleanness, and that's what we got into last time. And then this time, we're actually going to be talking about lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft. But when you take a look at that group, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, it all has to do with lust. And we're going to be talking about what lasciviousness is. But I do want to just bring this up here. Turn with me, hold your place there, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. Now, I want you to keep in mind of that short little list that Paul starts off with, and also keep in mind that there are 17 different works of the flesh listed in that chapter, okay? So when you look in Revelation chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Okay, so if you go back to Galatians 5:19, one of the things that's mentioned in there in verse 19 is fornication, okay? And let's see here. That's going to be the second one that's mentioned, and adultery. Okay? Now, it talks about how the kings of the earth have committed fornication with this whore. Now, who exactly is this whore? Well, God tells us in verse 5 of Revelation 17. It says, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, when you count the words of that title, there are 13 words precisely. 13 is the number for love, but it can also mean backwards love. Harlot love is backwards love. But you have true love, which is Christ Jesus. Then you get, and how do you get 13 from that? Well, you have Christ being surrounded by his 12 apostles. That's 13. So 13 is a number for love, but 13 is also can be, you know, the satanic version of 13 can also resemble wicked love or backwards love. And we see here that this harlot is whoring around with the kings of this earth, and the kings of this earth have committed fornication with this. So you see that there is a lust of the flesh taking place here in Revelation 17. So you have the lust of the flesh in Galatians 5. There are 17 things mentioned. And then when you look in Revelation 17, you see that one of them, you see kind of like the encompassment of the lust of the flesh being right there. Amen. So I just I just wanted to share that with you, and I just thought it was really interesting. But anyways, so let's get back to Galatians chapter 5. And like I said, we're going to be talking about lasciviousness. So we're going to be talking about lasciviousness, we're going to be talking about idolatry and witchcraft. It'll be those three that we're going to be talking about today. Now, let's talk about lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is mentioned 6 times in your King James Bible. The number 6 is the number for sin. And we see that because man and beast were created on what? The 6th day. And we know that man has a flesh and we're wicked because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Okay? So 6 is the number for sin. Okay? Now, what exactly does lasciviousness mean? Well, I looked it up on dictionary.com, and there's some, I'm going to be kind of blunt here, but if you don't want your kids to know what it means, you know, just send them out for a few minutes and then bring them back in. But this is what the dictionary definition of lasciviousness is. Number one is inclined to lustfulness, wanton, and lewd. A lascivious girl chasing old man. You know, so that just lustful desires essentially is what it is. Second definition is arousing sexual desire. Lascivious photographs or, you know, pornographic material. Stuff that none of us really should be looking at. Stuff that Hollywood puts out there. Stuff that is in magazines that are filthy and stuff. Stuff that, you know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And, the last one they have here is indicating sexual interest or expressive lust or lewdness. A lascivious gesture. So really, let's make this simple. Lasciviousness is really, in a nutshell, a word for lust. Lustful actions, lustful thoughts, you know, anything that is lustful is lasciviousness. Okay, let's simplify that even to one word. If we could take any word and exemplify it with, if we could take any word to define lasciviousness, it would be lust. Okay, so lasciviousness or lust. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this first part. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7 for me, if you will. Mark chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 22. But before we do, we're going to actually go back up a little bit and get the context of it so that we can get the full picture. Mark chapter 7. And let's start in verse 20. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So Jesus is talking about what defiles a man. It's not what enters the mouth that defiles the man. It's what comes out. Because what comes out comes from your heart. So the stuff that comes from our heart is what defiles us. This is why we need to be cleansed every day. This is why we need to ask for forgiveness and be cleansed. Because our hearts are deceitful above measure. Okay, so that's the context of what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about is what the stuff that comes out of man's heart. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. "Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall be well, many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." Okay? Now, let's see here. Galatians 5:19. Now, actually, we won't get into Galatians 5:19. Well, actually, let's do that. Let's go back to Galatians 5:19. Because it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness." Okay? So Paul is reiterating that it is a work of the flesh. It is what defiles. It's what defiles us because it comes out of the heart. So it is a work of the flesh. It is not the work of the Spirit. The Spirit and the flesh war against each other. Okay? The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Okay? Now, Ephesians 4:19. "Who being past feeling, given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." It's interesting. Lasciviousness and uncleanness. We see that uncleanness is one of the things mentioned in Galatians 5. And it's mentioned right before lasciviousness. So they're both tied together. Lasciviousness is uncleanness. Anything that comes out of the heart is unclean. Amen? Now, 1 Peter 4:3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. In Jude chapter 1 verse 4, "For there are certain men crept unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness is perverting that grace. That's like turning the grace of God into lasciviousness is taking Scripture and using it to justify your sin. That's what it is. And it's perverting the grace of God. Amen. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about lust. Now, I don't have a whole lot of scripture. I've got three witnesses I want to share, but we'll just kind of go from there. Now, it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, "Lust not after the beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." And Matthew 5:28, it says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Flee also ye full lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out with a pure heart." Now, let me tell you something about lust. There are many things that you can lust after. It doesn't have to be a particular, like, sexual lust. You can lust after money. You can lust after possession. You can even lust after idols. You can lust after idols. Let's go to in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 4, it says this: "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now let me tell you something. When Israel, when Moses was going up on that mountain to get to speak to God, to get the commandments, Israel was getting so impatient. They said, "Well, we really don't want Moses anymore. We want other gods. We want other gods." So Aaron had them break off the earrings, and he molted it and fashioned it into a molten calf. And they said, This calf brought you out of Egypt. You know, after everything that God had done for them, with the parting of the Red Sea, was showing with all these miraculous signs and wonders, they didn't want God. They wanted a false god. They lusted after false gods and a false deity. Okay? And with that, they got themselves in trouble with not just wanting an idol or false god, but this is where they got themselves in trouble with idolatry. They committed idolatry when they built this calf, okay? And that's going to be the second thing we're going to be talking about, is idolatry. Now, when you type in idolatry, idolatry is mentioned 5 times in the King James Bible. Why is that significant? Well, I've come to think that five is the meaning for grace. It's also the meaning for death. Genesis chapter 5, after Adam was mentioned 5 times, he dies. Okay, so 5 is the number for death. But could 5 also be associated with idolatry? Well, and when you take a look at this, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15, okay? "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, when you take a look at that scripture, God is showing us what was in Satan's heart. Okay, there are 5 things that are mentioned. Okay. Number 1, I will ascend into heaven. Okay? Number 2, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Means that he wants to have control over the angels. He wants to be God, okay? Number 3, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. He wants to be worshipped like God, doesn't he? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Again, he wants to be like God. And then, of course, the last one, I will be like the Most High. So we see that in his pride, the pride in his heart, remember what Jesus said, It's what comes out of the heart that defiles you. Could it also be that Satan was defiled by his own pride and beauty from his heart? Think about that. Okay? Satan wants to be worshipped as God. And guess what? Satan will temporarily be worshipped. He will. There's going to be a time where he will temporarily be worshipped. Even now, people worship Satan as a god. Okay? But in the last days, it's going to be worshipped. He's going to be worshipped through the Antichrist. Now, I want to say something here, okay? To worship Satan as God, that is idolatry. You're committing idolatry by worshiping Satan as God. Okay? Now, let's see here. Okay. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 12 through 15. It says, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on earth, in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Just as Israel defiled themselves by making a calf and lusted after that, man is going to do the same thing. They're going to make an image to the beast. Because of their lusts, they're going to make an image to the beast that they can worship. And all those who refuse to worship that image will be killed. Amen. Now, so as we can see, that there is kind of a connection with Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, with the five things that he had in his heart to idolatry, okay? Now, let's take a look at the occurrences of idolatry. Now, again, Galatians 5:20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, and strife, seditions, and heresies. They are the works of the flesh, okay? But as we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, we'll talk a little bit about that more in the next section here. Okay, but in Acts chapter 17, verse 16, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Athens was a very idolatrous city, and they were given to their false gods and their false deities and all these other. They were given over to all that. They had a lust. They lusted after them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." When you covet something, you lust after it. And when you covet something, you're committing adultery. If you lust after something, you're committing adultery. You can lust after money and be guilty of idolatry. Because anything can be considered as an idol. A person can be considered as an idol. Your personality can be considered as an idol. Anything that you can think of is considered as an idol. Your car can be considered as an idol. Now, with that said, let's get into the last section. The last section, which is witchcraft. Witchcraft is found three times in the King James Bible. So think of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Okay? Witchcraft. But, however, if you type in witchcraft in the Pure Bible Search software and you put an asterisk at the end, it is found in the Bible seven times. Okay? Seven times. Excuse me. One of them being Galatians 5:20, which is our kind of context verse. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Okay? That's the lust of the flesh. Remember, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Again, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, this is why Samuel said this to Saul. Because God gave a commandment to Saul to wipe out the Amalekites. But God gave a commandment to wipe out a group of people. Okay? And to kill all the sucklings, all the animals, the men, women, and children, to wipe them all out. Okay? But Saul did not wipe out the animals. He kept them there. So he rebelled. He rejected the word of the Lord by going against what God said. This is why Samuel said to Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Okay? Saul rejected the word of the Lord by doing what... But, you know, and by the way, how did he go against God? Because it was the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Okay? The fear of man bringeth a snare. And if you have a fear of man, you're going to be disobedient to God. Think about that for... Just think about that for a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. And it came to pass when Jerome saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Jezebel was a whore, and she had many witchcrafts. Okay? You see that it's that lust of the flesh. Okay, lust of the flesh. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcrafts and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking the anger. Let me tell you something. Saul didn't just rebel against God, but he sought after familiar spirits. He sought after a witch. Okay, so Saul, the first king of Israel, was very heavily into witchcraft. Micah chapter 5, verse 12, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. And then the last one, Nahum 3:4, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistresses of witchcrafts that selleth nations, through her whoredoms, and families through her witchcrafts. Okay? Now, we read through scriptures why God tells us that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, okay? Again, Saul deliberately disobeyed God, rejected his word. When you disobey and reject the word of God, you are guilty of witchcraft because you're telling God that you don't need him and that you can do things by yourself. So when you rebel against God's commandments, when you say, God, I'll do it my way, okay, that's part of witchcraft, because then you're putting it on you, okay? It's pride, it's witchcraft. And when you have a rejection of his word, that's also witchcraft too, because you're saying, I don't need that, I'll just do whatever I want. It's just like in the days of the judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And how well do you think that worked for Israel? Not very well. Okay, because they kept on putting themselves in bondage. Okay, don't do things that are right in your own eyes. Do things that are right in God's eyes. Okay, now what are our examples of witchcraft? Harry Potter is pretty much self-explanatory, and I don't really need to really say much about that. Harry Potter is witchcraft. Another example of witchcraft are women pastors. You can't say that. Brandon, you're being a sexist. You can't say that. God can use men and women equally in ministry. No, he can't. People who think that women can be pastors don't know their Bible very well. God specifically says no. He specifically says that the office of pastor is for the man and man only. So if you want to call that sexist, you're really calling God a sexist. But women pastors is an example of witchcraft. Why? Because women who claim to be pastors, if they claim to be pastors, they're actually going against what God says in his word. And I'm going to prove it to you, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 through 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted on them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Some people take that out of context. Okay? But that context is, they can't get up and preach a message. They are to keep silent in the churches. How many women apostles were there in the Bible? How many women apostles? Zero. Zero women apostles. All the apostles were men. And by the way, the office of an apostle was a lot higher than office of pastor. So if the apostles were all men, how much more should the office of pastor should be all men and no women? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not a covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. It does not say her. It says his. What does that imply? That implies that only a man can be a pastor, not a woman. Titus chapter 1, verse 6. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All right? Let me tell you something. People like Paula White, Joyce Myers, and there's probably a whole bunch of other ones I can't think of right now. But all you fake and phony women pastors, you should be at home baking cookies for your family. You have no position in the pastoral office. Go home and bake cookies and be keepers at home. Oh, Brandon, you're just being mean. No, I'm not. The Bible says to be keepers at home. That is the role of a woman, to be a keeper at home. You have the name and claim it, the law of attraction. Okay? That's witchcraft. Every religion in the world that contradicts the Bible, witchcraft. Roman Catholicism is not Christianity, it's witchcraft. Okay? The coming Antichrist, witchcraft. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 through 37. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Okay. The Antichrist is going to be in witchcraft. The coming of the mark of the beast. That's a deliberate rejection of God and his word, if you take that mark. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, people. It is. Hollywood. Again, they rebel against God, don't they? Okay? That's witchcraft. In a nutshell, any acts of rejection or action that are contrary to the word of God is witchcraft. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Think about that. But have pleasure in them, not do them. You may not commit it yourself, but just even looking at something that's not profitable, you're still guilty of it. And that is a very convicting idea. That's a very, very, well, not idea, but that's a very convicting truth. Okay, very convicting. listen. Okay. I love you guys. I'm not trying to be mean, but I have to tell the truth as it is. Okay? Even if you don't like it, I have that responsibility. Now, I don't want you to take everything I say for truth. I want you to take what I say and you match it with the Bible. If what I say does not match with the Bible, then let God be true and let Brandon be a liar. Okay? If I'm wrong, God will deal with me and chasten me for what I did. But if I am right, God will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know today for sure, because today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, you'll be saved. Jesus Christ wants to have a personal relationship with you. It's not about your works. It's not even about who you are. Because the Bible says we are sinners on our way to hell without Christ. But to be born again is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to put your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross and asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. It's very simple. We don't need to make it complicated. It's very simple. Cry out to God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Will you do that? Will you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Believers, if there's any area that you know that you struggle with, like me, now is the time to get that right. Because our sin does take that fellowship away. It doesn't take it away. It separates us. Okay? We can have that fellowship. When we sin, that fellowship gets broken, but we can have that restored. Amen? So if there's anything that you need to get right with God, today's the day to get it right. Amen? I know that was really quick, but I'm going to play Amazing Grace. I'm going to play a couple of hymns of Amazing Grace. And then we'll close. That is, if I can find it. There we go. That's not it. I did see it. It was... I love you guys, but I gotta tell the truth as it is. Amen. Gotta preach the whole counsel of God. Can't just preach on one thing and just call it good. You know, we gotta preach on the whole counsel of God. Amen. Listen, I want to thank you all for I want to thank you all for those of you that will watch this. I want to thank you ahead of time for coming across this video and watching this. I hope that this was a blessing to you. I hope this is something that can challenge you and convict you a little bit. But anyways, it was good to be here tonight. I love you guys. pray for me. I'll be working on the next message here. Hopefully I'll be able to do it on Sunday. keep me in prayer. I know I need your prayers. So please keep me in prayer. Please keep my ministry in prayer. Please just pray that God will just have his way and will. Amen. Other than that, I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great night. And we'll see you on the next video. God bless you guys. See ya. Love you. Bye.